Good afternoon, manga fans. Ed Chavez with you once again. I hope you enjoyed our last episode of the SamaCast. We've been doing those really infrequently, but I want to be able to go back and start those up again. It's a little difficult, obviously, because there aren't too many sports titles, at least in English, to talk about. So what I'm really thinking about doing from this point on is just taking titles that are running in magazines currently right now. Make that the focus of the SamaCast, and then, you know, if Jared or Jack want to do one of English translated books, then, you know, we can toss those in as well. But so a little format change that's going to come up in the future. Tonight, we're going to take a look at a different theme, and you possibly already figured out I kind of like to do these occasionally like this. We're going to look at role reversals, and particularly in tonight's episode, we're going to look at gender reversals here. Gender benders tend to be a common theme in manga and in anime. You end up seeing them for very, very, quite various reasons, sometimes for comedy, sometimes just for that, that you know, little hint of a sexual tension, sometimes for the additional drama, but gender benders sometimes are able to really bring out a lot of subtle qualities to a manga, mainly because of the potential emotional and personal issues that end up coming up for the main character, the person who is usually going about this change and keeping this secret away from people. And then there are also issues with how others react to that character. Some of them might be a little bit more knowledgeable of the fact that there is a little lie, as white or as dark as it could be. And then there are situations in which people will react very, very powerfully to changes in perception, and you will definitely see that in the manga we're going to take a look at this afternoon. So we're back with volume 264 of the Manga Cast. Okay, the first title we're going to take a look at tonight is Kashimashi, and this is written by Akihori Satoru and drawn by Katsura Yukimaru, and this is released here in the States by Seven Seas. It was released in Japan by Media Works. 16 and up title, and it is one of the newest titles by newest licensed titles by Seven Seas, and a title that actually I remember reading about this in one of MediaWorks' magazines a couple months back, and I actually ended up recommending this title, not necessarily because I thought this was a good title, just because I thought it was going to be a very easy-to-market title. And it's a very quirky idea. This is a story of a young man who is in some ways a little feminine. I wouldn't necessarily say who was his looks. I think it was just some of the characteristics that he had. He was soft-spoken, a little timid, someone who was also a little meek. Some of the hobbies and interests that the main character, Hazumu, has are also possibly things that you might think girls would gravitate around a little bit more. He's interested in gardening and flowers and such, not so much into physical activities. So some of his friends, and particularly some of the girls in his life, actually kind of considered him a little feminine. Well, when Hazumu decides to, I guess, man up for a change, and let the girl that he has a crush on know his feelings, she ends up turning him down, and he ends up going back to where he is most comfortable after this situation. he goes out to the mountains and he goes to get himself surrounded by flowers, and flowers that he loves and appreciates. And while he's out there, he gets hit by a UFO. And Hazumu's body is just destroyed. You think, you know, he, you know, there's the end of the of this manga, very quick, not even a chapter long. But no, the aliens who were in the UFO end up regenerating, putting back Hazumu together, but they did not put him back properly. See, they weren't able to figure out what his gender was, so they. Or put him back together in his appropriate gender or something. That's still a little unclear. And now he's a girl, and he's a girl in every way, all the way down to his DNA. And right now there is no science that can change him back. And the interesting thing about this in the story is that when the aliens in the figuring this out, they actually announce this to the entire world. So it's on TV. They make the sky into a big screen projection, and they just let citizens of this planet know that young Hazumu is alive. No worries there, but he is now a female. The government of Japan has to worry about, you know, changing his registry. Is the Diet, the Japanese version of Congress, going to now call him a girl? Is Hazumu, female-bodied Hazumu, now still a man? Lots to worry about on that front, but we don't necessarily see that in the manga all that much. Because Hazumu has some other problems. You see, he has to go to school still. And he also has to go to school with a girl that he just rejected him, Yusuna. And all of a sudden, Yusuna is head over heels in love with him. Why? Well, you see, Yusuna has a secret. She can only love women. And she can only love women for a reason. It's a little ambiguous, and it's definitely a very interesting concept, and one that really works with this title that teases with Yuri elements from start to finish. There are a couple other characters that are brought into the story. Tomari is a childhood friend of Hazuma, and Tomari actually loved or liked Hazumu, even when he was a guy, even when he was a little feminine dude. And she always was there to take care of him, even though he was usually a little bigger than she is. And there are other friends as well. And practically everybody who is around Hazumu, guy or gal or a spaceship, is in love with him now. It's a really quirky title because it works in a bunch of manga devices. This is basically a harem manga right now, working on kind of like a Yuri harem kind of. There's also a guy in there tossed in just to make things interesting. You have that gender bending aspect, of course, where Hazumu, guy, you actually never got to see his face when he was a guy. Now you see Hazumu as a girl all the time. And yet he does struggle with being a girl. He does also understand that there's certain relationships that girls can't have. Well, at least that's how he feels. You know? So, obviously, that's not true. Girls can have those relationships, but you have that struggle within him that he has to overcome one way or another. You also have this weird, you know, alien concept that's brought in here. The aliens actually hang around. They observe Hazumu. They want to figure out the concepts of love, of hatred, the emotions that are now still with humanity and are lost in his in their culture. And in the end, you know, this is just the coming of age of a young person, a person who has to live with a new life, a new body, new perceptions on him, not just from his classmates, not just from his friends, not just from society as a whole, because as we said earlier, this was shared with the entire planet, but also with his family, with himself, with his own feelings. It's a pretty touching story, very sweet, very funny, and the art here by Katsura really does a great job of presenting these characters in a very nice way. You see the designs here, sporty girl. You see Yamato Nadeshiko type. Azumu's character, that's for some reason, tends to be the tallest one, by far the cutest one, the bustiest one. Also, there's some variety in regard to costume designs when they are in casual wear as well, and real good perspective here and point of view. You really can see those emotions. The feelings and that these characters are going through on their face and on the way that Katsura presents these scenes, and you can see the reactions very well. Very, very nice presentation by the author, by the artist. And Seven Seas does a good job with the presentation of the book as well. They keep the original cover art. They work on the logo and adapted to a way that is very similar to the Japanese version. I would have actually not put the H on there because of the video game version. Kashimashi is without the H. And actually listening to the radio programs of this on podcasts for almost a year, actually, the Japanese version spelled it without the H. So that's a little annoying. Color plate on the inside, the print is fine. I don't really have too many issues there. Some nice extras at the end of the book. It's just a very solid looking presentation by Seven Seas, and another good job from them. Next title we're going to take a look at tonight is Tenchi Janai, I Am No Angel by Shigematsu Takako. And it's released here in the States by Gokomi. Originally released in Japan by Kirish Ten. This is 16 and up, $10.99. And we reviewed Tenchi Janai a couple times before. It's one of these titles that I guess you can say it's a guilty pleasure for me, because it's a title that really doesn't excel in many ways. In many ways, it is a pretty average title, but there are little details that really, really worked for me so far, particularly the main character, Takabayashi Hikaru, who, if we were talking about gender benders, is not someone who really does that. Her roommate does. But at the same time, she is still the focus of the story, and she really, particularly what you see in this one, she really changes the complexity of this title in many different ways. Tenchi Janai is a story of a young lady who really wanted to just lay low. She did not want to have any attention. She did not want to be the focus of to be in anybody's mind at all. She just wanted to be the average person, just quietly in the corner, go to class, go home, keep her studies up, and eventually find herself in society doing who knows what, maybe working in a library or something. She never wanted to be in the spotlight. Unfortunately, she is talented and she is beautiful and she is smart, and people gravitate to her when they end up realizing what kind of person she is. And people can see that talent when she just opens up a little bit and lets people know her. In this particular volume, we get to see a little bit of that. Unfortunately, I don't think we see enough of that. Instead, we get to see the other element of Hikaru that is definitely not going to qualify her as an angel at all. You see, Hikaru is now going through this weird relationship with her teacher. And you would think a person who does not want to be in the middle of attention, someone like that would possibly not want to get into a what is usually considered a forbidden relationship. And but no, there she is, and she is consistently putting herself into moments where she is displaying public affection with her teacher on campus, increasing the chances of trouble. At the same time, she is trying to keep up a couple of lies, one of them revolving around her friend Izumi, and then there is her all of a sudden budding acting career. There are issues here that really begin to show her in a different light, and I really have to wonder where this title is going now, because it's no longer going in that direction where, with each new arc, with each new little storyline, you get to see a little bit more of Hikaru's talent come out. And they were going through this progression where she was blossoming into something that she could have been a long time ago, but due to some trauma, due to a lot of bullying when she was younger, she had to suppress, and she could not nurture. And now being in a very rich environment with people who do have talent and do have the will to encourage her, I thought they were going to really work on this. I thought Shigematsu was going to try to develop that element a little bit more. Instead, we now have this twisted little romance that is not like her character at all, at least not so far. Obviously, who am I to judge, right? But I just didn't see Hikaru making decisions like this that were so risky, especially so personal. And at the same time, seeing Izumi react the way he's reacting seemed a lot more in tune with his character, but I would almost think that he would possibly get over things a little quicker, just after seeing that he is a little bit more of a realist. This particular volume really just focuses on the budding relationship with Takabayashi and her teacher. It's a little sweet. It's very, very naive, and it's very risky, and it definitely is worth that 16 and up rating, and in many ways it is definitely an interesting read, but it just does not doesn't really make me want to really come back for more. I can read a romance title in a shoujo beat magazine. I can find that in something from Tokyo Pop. ICK Union has plenty of romance titles. I wanted something with a little more substance, and that's what I was getting earlier in Tenshinji and I. This is a little more cut and dry, and I almost have to wonder, I almost actually have to hope that this is only temporary, because I don't mind little devils, but I want them to be a little more a little more substantial than this. Okay, our final book tonight is Galaxy Angel Beta. This is Volume 3 by Kanon, released here in the States by Rockwood Books, originally released in Japan by Jive, 13 and up, $9.99. Last volume in this Galaxy Angel saga. If you've been listening to the MangaCast, possibly know that I've long enjoyed this series. Been reading G.I. from Broccoli for a couple of years now, and there's just something about Kanon's ability to just really present those heartfelt, sweet moments with her unique sense of humor, and that was really enough for me for the very first few volumes of Galaxy Angel. That was enough for me for Volume 1 of Galaxy Angel Beta, because you were able to really just get to know these characters. Get to know these characters on a very, very personal level and a very humorous level. You end up really just seeing what their personality traits were like. I often felt that it was very much like reading a dating sim, actually, and I guess that might have some ties to the video game, but there was just something about the humor to GA, and to just go around talking to these characters, seeing Takuto do that, or Chitose do that, or Prince Shiba do that, and then just have them go on hijinks and go on vacation. That was just a lot of fun. It was just random comedy, and that worked just well for me. When GA and GA Beta ended up bringing in the drama and trying to create some type of a plot, that's where I had some problems, and Volume 3 of Beta really, really illustrated that. And man, it really gave me a sour taste about the series as a whole. It's really a shame too, because you really have some type of a plot here in Galaxy Angel Beta. And unfortunately, because it is so condensed and it's so short and abrupt, it gets to be a little confusing. Particularly the way that Kanon has to illustrate this. Kanon has always been more of a comedy type of artist, so some of the paneling and the layouts really tend to work a lot better in a comedy format. The perspective and some of the panel sizes in particular didn't really translate all that well to drama. And to be able to actually see massive battle scene just never really worked out very well. And then to have moments where she was having a little difficulty with continuity. Those issues just really, really just ruined it entirely for me. I had a hard time figuring out many of the scenes with Takuto and Chitose. All of a sudden, you were led to believe that Chitose had brainwashed Takuto, and that Takuto had betrayed his angel troop. Sacrificing, actually, and attacking one of his very dear colleagues, and moments later he's in a different location, and moments later he's back in where he was before, and moments later he's someplace else, and you don't get to see the transitions. You don't really understand why things just happen, and Is that what the lost technology is about? Is it supposed to transport Takato Myers in time and space, or what really is going on? Is what I was thinking to myself, and all of a sudden, boom! Everything has been resolved, and you have a heroine that comes to the forefront, and then something happens to her, and all of a sudden after that you're back to the old Galaxy Angel, people on vacation, Angel Tree members out on the beach, Angel Tree members searching for ingredients for treats, Angel Tree members on the deck of their spaceships, or talking to space whales. If it were just that, it would have been perfect, because I could have dealt with that. But to take up half of a book with action—that, I mean, it was definitely needed. It was definitely necessary for the plot, and you could see it coming from Galaxy Angel. But just it was just really abrupt, and I really wished Kanon could have taken a little more time to really work out some of those scenes and really give the reader a little more perspective on what happened between some of these panels, literally, because sometimes just in a 2-page spread you can end up getting lost. As a whole, Galaxy Angel is one of these titles that I just loved. But I think I like GA a little better than Beta because, for all that we ended up getting with Chitose and the relationship between Takoto and Milfi and Prince Shiva, which has a very sweet, very very touching scene at the end of this book, and all of I guess I can just spoil right now, all of her troops out there, all of her people out there. I liked how GA was just able to, even though it did struggle at the end of its little run, was just able to keep up the lighthearted moments a little more consistently through. And it was able to make those transitions between humor and drama a little better. Beta struggles with that, and it's yeah, it is a little disappointing. It's a little bitter for me because it's just one of those titles that I've been liking so much for just so long. Okay. As usual, in reverse order, our last book was Galaxy Angel Beta. Volume 3 is the last volume of the series, released by Broccoli Books, drawn by Kanon. $9.99, 13 and up, and this is a Brawl Books Deluxe series title, so the presentation was just excellent. Very good. Printing, you have color plates inside the book, not right at the start, which is pretty unique. You don't actually see too many publishers trying that out. Tons of extras at the end of the book, a couple Atogaki stories. You have little art about Kanon at a Digico event. A little bit on the wrap up of Galaxy Angel. There's even a preview of the next Galaxy Angel series, and a little summary about that. Translator notes. I did notice a couple of typos along the way, so it's not perfect. I think they've actually taken care of that. Hopefully, they've taken care of that for future prints. But overall solid release by Broccoli Books. And if you end up sending some stamps along with a questionnaire at the end of the book, you can actually get a dust jacket for this too. So a nice touch from this publisher. The second book we looked at today was Tenchi Janai, and this is by Shigematsu Takako, released here in the States by Gokomi, $10.99, 16 and up. Pretty solid presentation by Gokomi. Nice cover art. It's a little too much for me, really, but this is the Japanese cover art. I kind of have to wonder, I mean, you never see these characters actually wearing clothes like this, so I don't necessarily know where the inspiration comes from, but still very, very intriguing. Inside the print is pretty good. I did notice that the retouch had some issues. You're actually able to see where bubbles were kind of adjusted, or when a side text was adjusted a little bit, which is actually I don't necessarily see all that much anymore in most books. So that was that really stood out for me. I also noticed that they were mentioning that there were translator notes for certain things at the end of the book, and while there are translator book notes out there, they don't include everything that they were supposed to be looking at. So I would flip towards the end of the book and not find anything on certain subjects. So that they noted were going to be discussed. So that was a little frustrating. Outside of that, solid release. I did have a couple issues with the translation here and there, but nothing really serious. And gonna reserve judgment for another volume of Tenchi Janai and then see how that goes. First volume we'll take a look at today was Kashimashi, Girl Meets Girl, Volume 1. Story by Akahori Satoru and art by Katsura Yukimaru. Released here in the States by Seven Seas. This is $10.99 and 16 and up. Very solid presentation by Seven Seas. Color plate. Very, very clean print. Translation that really it worked for me. I haven't read this these chapters from Meteor Works. I actually started up on this series a little bit later on, as you possibly know, since I reviewed the magazine a couple months back. And with what I've seen so far, Kashimashi, I mean, it's a fun title. It's a very quirky title. It's not necessarily my thing, but I can definitely see it having an audience. And fortunately, Seven Seas has done a pretty good job with this. So hope to see that do well. Eventually this release is going to catch up to the Japanese version. So I wonder how that's going to be treated. But that's a whole other story. Anyway, that's it for me tonight. But before I go, I'm going to do a little something here that I should have done quite a while back. Actually, we're going to do a little contest tonight, and we are going to give away something from Broccoli Books. And very kind of them when I ran into them at YaoiCon to give me some items to give to you guys. We gave away a Disgaea calendar a couple weeks back. It took a little bit of time to get rid of that. I was kind of disappointed, really, but it finally shipped. So thanks to you guys for writing in. Finally, tonight we're gonna give away a calendar, a desk calendar, and this is a 2007 Juvenile Orion calendar. And what is unique about this is that you possibly have read Juvenile Orion. It was a pretty popular title for Broccoli for most of last year. Actually, Broccoli even released a box set of Juvenile Orion. with some nice little extras, like some pins and stuff. Or was it a keychain? I don't remember. It's actually sitting on my shelf right now. But what you get in the 2007 calendar are you get art from a few established artists. Some of them you might know. Kogedombo, obviously, Gokuraku in Sakurako, who is the artist of Aquarian Age Juvenile Orion. You also get art from Kanan, Shugoto Aya, Greco Nankin. Actually, Nankin Greco, she actually has had some of her manga here in the States, which is pretty interesting, released by DR Master, if I remember correctly. Peach Pit, which I'm pretty sure some of you guys are also familiar with. Peach Pit has 2 months, I believe, in here. Kojima Naduki is in here. And Azumi Toru as well. But what you get in the 2007 calendar, not just all of these artists, but you get characters that were not in the manga. You get to see a little bit more of the world of Juvenile Orion, and you know, these personalities that come out from, you know, all of the different clans that are out there really end up showing off, you know, the scope of Juvenile Orion very well. I mean, you're able to see some of these characters, some of these personalities in a different light. Obviously, you got to see a couple of the clans and their mind breakers in Juvenile Orion the manga. But there's a card game out there that really opens up a lot more of this world, and to be able to get these artists to work on these characters like this is very interesting. You're actually able to, because this is a desk calendar, you're actually able to, at the end of the year or at the end of the month, rip out the image, the art, and turn those into postcards and collect those or mail those. And you can use the calendar in that way as well. So there is some functionality also. Really interesting little collector's item if you're interested in Juvenile Orion. And you know, we have two of these to give away. So for the first two people who write in and let me know, let's see. If you can let me know that manga that Nankin Greco has released here in the States, I can mail you one of these. So send an email out to themangacast@gmail.com, mangacast@gmail.com, with the answer, and you'll have a nice little Christmas present in the mail. I'm going to be kind of sad to see this go, but these are contest giveaways, so I hope you guys take advantage of the opportunity. So that's it for me today. See if we can come back tomorrow. We have a bunch of manhwa to talk about. Actually, I might have to do 2 days in a row of manhwa. So until then, man, I'm really tired. And gokigenyo.